You are now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation, and I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everything going out there? Yeah, man, everything is going pretty good on my end also. Listen, did you get your feel of playoff football? Was it good? Were your predictions right? Were your predictions wrong? How'd everything go for you? Did your team win? I know it was some scary games. It was some close calls. It was some comebacks. And there was some ass whoopings. It's all about where you fit in that category, man. I don't know where you fit in with me. I'm a Falcon fan. I don't have a dog in the fight. So I'm just watching games, and I'm watching them unfold, and I'm having a great time watching great football because it's been some great football. So, yeah, I'll jump right into it, man, with the I told y'all and the my bads. But I told y'all that I was ready for this whole Tom Brady saga to be over. I heard more about Tom Brady going to Vegas. I heard more about him going to Miami. I heard more about him going to Denver. Or all these random, maybe not Denver, but all these random places. More than I heard anybody talk about how they thought that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could advance to the next round. And I told y'all that these guys were a terrible team. Now, I say terrible, I'm going to the extreme because I really don't, you know, they're a rival. I'm using terrible as, you know, saying the extreme. But they're a terrible team in a terrible division, which was the NFC South. We were all bad. We were all trash in that division. It was like Toy Story when he said, "You just like me. Trash." Everybody was trash. Carolina's trash. Tampa Bay's trash, the Falcons are trash, Saints trash, you know damn well they trash. But it was a bad team, and when you watch that game, man, I tweeted out that I don't know how anybody could watch this game and think that they want Tom Brady as their next quarterback. That wasn't a good look for Tom. And if you watch the games all season, Tom has kind of been like that all season. But there were times where the defenders were running up, and they were coming up to him, and they were invading his space in the pocket. And he was chucking the ball and kind of turning his back like he was scared. And you can't have your quarterback in the pocket scared. And I know you once hit me with, oh, he's 45 years old and he's tired. He don't want to get hit. No quarterback wants to get hit. But damn it, what do you tell your QB? You tell your QB to step up in the pocket, make the throw, follow through. And if you get hit, you get hit. You roll with it. You learn how to take those hits. And at 45 years old, I would imagine that Tom Brady has learned how to take those hits. But watching that game the other day, Tom Brady looked like, oh, you want this? Here. And chucked it away. Literally turned his back like, oh, nah, I'm good. So, honestly, I know all the hot topics have been, where's Tom going? Where's his next stop? Is it San Francisco? Is it here? Is it there? He need to go and sit his ass down. Go get with your family, dog. Go put your family back together, bruh. Go get in somebody's front office. You know, they had to deal with the Miami Dolphins that blew up. Go sign you a deal with NBC, ESPN. One of these networks, I'm sure, if he says he wants to be a commentator, he'll have a job instantly. You think Romo, they'll kick Romo to the curb if Tom Brady says, I want that job tomorrow. It's been nice knowing you. You've now been moved to Sunday afternoon football instead of Monday night football. But he needs to go and sit down somewhere, man. Like, honestly, it's been a good run. Let's keep that positive memory of Tom Brady in our minds. Like, let's not do this again next year because it can't get any better. It's only going to get worse, and it'll probably get worse if he goes to another squad. If you go to the Raiders aren't cute, they're not Super Bowl ready. Like how Tampa Bay was Super Bowl ready. All he had to do was open up the box, put on his shoulder pads and his headgear, and boom, voila, it was a Super Bowl. It had a team of receivers, linebackers, DNs, DBs. They had a whole team that was ready to roll. There's no team like that that wants Tom Brady in the league right now. There's no team that's ready to roll that's like, we just Tom Brady away. Because if you can make that move from Jameis Winston to Tom Brady, you make that move. But who are you making that move from said quarterback to Tom Brady today? To 45, going on 46, or whatever it is, Tom Brady. Who wants to make that move right now? You know, wherever the teams that would take him, he wouldn't be caught dead. I think I heard Dan Orlovsky say some crazy mess like Carolina. Carolina's not a Tom Brady away. You understand what I'm saying? See how crazy that sounds? Like even with what we think about the Raiders, the Raiders aren't Tom Brady away. If they were Tom Brady away, they probably would have gotten a little further than what they did. They weren't Tom Brady away. So, yeah, man, that was a beatdown. 49ers at San Francisco. I told you I like 49ers. I told you they had talent all across the board. They had way more talent. And it showed. It showed immediately. I mean, you know, it showed. The Seahawks held in firm for a little while, but then San Francisco, that talent kicked in, dog. You know what I'm saying? I was wrong in the fact of the Chargers and the Jaguars. And the Chargers were up 27 points. And you've heard this before. This is coming to you probably Friday before the divisional round, but you heard this before. The Chargers were up 27 points and the Jaguars came back. I will give it to the Jaguars. They fought. They didn't get their head down. They stayed in the mix. That's a testament to the coach, Peterson. It's a testament to him. And I'll give it a little bit to Trevor Lawrence. Y'all know, I don't want to be perceived as a Trevor Lawrence hater. I don't think he's what they made him out to be just yet. He's a good QB, may grow into a great QB, but in that first half, he threw four damn picks. He was a major reason why they were down 27-0 before they got it to 27-7 before the half. So you can tell me all about how he stayed in the fight and he brought him back and all that stuff. He made throws. I believe that's the coaching staff sticking with him just as much as I believe it's him staying in the fight. And I'm watching him on the sideline. I'm hearing him talk to the guys. He's not an excitable guy. Like, it's like the third or fourth time I've watched Jacksonville, and I just want to see, like, how he interacts with the guys, how he interacts with the players, with his receivers, with his linemen. And he's very monotone when he speaks to him. Like, all right, we got to go out here and we got to go get it, you know. Like, and he may be a cool guy. He may be one of the best players to play with. But he's not a raw. He doesn't strike me, or at least he's not caught on camera being a rah-rah guy. Tom Brady, how we just talked about Tom Brady. Tom Brady would get up and scream and get in this guy's faces. Matt Ryan would get up and scream and get in some guys' faces. There's other players who you'll see Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes will get up. He may not scream in guys' faces, but he's right there. He's telling them we got to do this. He's getting excited. And his energy is transferred over to the line's energy, and it's transferred over to the receiver's energy, and it's transferred over to the running backs, and it permeates throughout the team, and everybody feels like, oh, it's go time. Because Pat Mahomes has shown us that it's go time, and he's over here, he's jumping around, he's excited. We can feel it in his bones, in the stadium, on the sideline, and we're ready to go because he's ready to go. I don't get that from Trevor Lawrence. But we'll see how his career progresses. If I'm wrong, or if that turns out to be something that begins to be a detriment for him. Like when you go to the side, people say, "Oh man, I just can't get with the guy's demeanor." Because one of those guys that I'm thinking of is like Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler can play the hell out some football, but he stood on the sideline like he didn't give a damn. He threw a pick, all right. Thus, they had all the memes with him smoking the cigarette on the side. Like they just photoshopped the cigarette into his mouth. And because that was the face that he was making. And not to say Trevor Lawrence is going to be Jay Cutler, but I'm just saying the demeanor on the sideline makes a difference. How you relate to your players and how you talk to those guys in the heat of the moment makes a difference. And even though they came back, I don't know if it was all Trevor Lawrence. I don't think it was all Trevor Lawrence. I think it was part coaching staff. I think it was majority coaching staff and Trevor, and they coached him up. So we'll see how that goes next week. I'll tell you my predictions as we go along throughout this. But the Bills Dolphins game was a little more, a little closer than I thought it would be. You know what I'm saying? I expected that with no Tua, I expected that they could not put up the points to compete with. If you tell me the Bills scored 34 points, I don't tell you that Miami scores 31. And the same with the Bengals-Ravens game. The Bengals-Ravens game came down to a quarterback sneak. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to go across the top for a quarterback sneak. And what happens? The ball pops out. And we make our way down the field. But it was close. It was super close. Like, I'm thinking if Huntley reaches across and scores that, like, what are we talking about in terms of Lamar Jackson? And we'll get into some of the Lamar Jackson talk in a second. But if Huntley scores that, how does that impact where we are today in terms of Lamar Jackson getting the deal done? Is it as urgent? Is it an I told you moment for the GM or the front office to say, hey man, we don't really, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we built this thing around Lamar Jackson, but we don't really, 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 really have to have him. We can win and win a playoff game without him. So if we trade him to this or that and get a pick and then bring in another young QB, we can still make it and fill in everything around the young QB because he's on the rookie salary. You know what I'm saying? How would that have impacted things? Like, it would be interesting to see. And it's still going to be interesting to see how this negotiation is going to go. Like, I'll give you my, I told you we'll talk about it a little later. I'll give you my opinion about what I think will happen. And I'm just saying, I don't think that it's what I would do if I were Baltimore, but everybody plays it a little differently. What do I know? I'm not a billionaire. Giants and Vikings. I was wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? I did not see this going to where the Vikings would lose to the New York Giants. But they lost. Like, Saquon Barkley, man, I always say that he helps. He helps Daniel Jones. He helps the offense. This is the first year that having a fully healthy Saquon Jones all season long actually helps, because you have that threat. You have that threat of, I can hand this ball off, I can get short yardage, I can hand the ball off, he can rip one or two. So your linebackers have to play it differently, your ends have to play it differently, your DBs have to play it differently, and that allows Daniel Jones to go out there and play action, which he loves to do, like, which is what one of the things they love to have him do. And he's fairly good at it. He's a pretty good runner on, you know, he uses his legs very well. So I didn't see it coming. I thought that, and I hate to be that guy, but I sometimes root for the, not really the underdog, but the guy to prove everybody wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because the whole thing about Kirk Cousins was everybody thought that Kirk Cousins was going to get his numbers, but you can't win with him. You'll only get so far with him. All of these things. I wanted to see Kirk win. You know what I'm saying? We've had all the memes and all the videos of Minnesota being on the airplane and everybody putting their chains on Kirk Cousins, and they were calling the Perk Cousins and all kind of things. I wanted to see him win. That was fun. I wanted to see it go all the way through. I didn't think they were going to be Super Bowl contenders or anything, but I thought they would make it past the first round. So I was wrong in that aspect. Let's see. I talked about Cowboys and Buccaneers. I told y'all. Talked about Ravens. Talked about the Giants. Talked about Dolphins. I pretty much covered the spread. You know, covered the whole thing. Yeah, I did. I just, the Jaguars game I got wrong, and the Giants game I got wrong. So two out of the, you know, I'm 4-2 in this playoff game. You know what I'm saying? It's okay. And honestly, if you want to, we can go ahead and we can go into the divisional round and talk about what we see and how everything matches up there. Like, Saturday, 4:30, I think it's on NBC, Kansas City Chiefs take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Listen, man. You gave Kansas City a week to prepare, a week to watch Jacksonville and what they did. They're not going to sleep on Jacksonville. You better believe it. Patrick Mahomes is not going to sleep on Jacksonville. It's just not. So that whole catch 'em slipping factor is not going to be there. Andy Reid is not sleeping on Jacksonville. And the thing for Jacksonville is they can't get into that deep of a hole. You get into a 27-0 hole, man, you can cancel Christmas on the Kansas City Chiefs, because they're not the Chargers. The thing about the Chargers, I meant to say this when I was talking about the game. The thing about the Chargers in that was Justin Herbert, for all the things that I wanted to see him do, this, the next step that I wanted to see him take, instead of making the throws a lot of times, Herbert played it really close to the vest and would just either chuck it out of bounds or just dump it to a check down over and over and over again. And it got to a detriment because it never really turned over into a first down when they needed a first down. And so that allowed Jacksonville to continue to keep plowing and keep moving ahead, because Herbert wasn't making them pay. Pat Mahomes is going to make your ass pay. He's not going to keep checking it down. He's going to use his legs. He's going to use his tight ends. He's going to use his receivers. He's going to use his running backs. He's going to use, hell, some of the stuff that they did with the spinning huddle and all that stuff, the little crazy circus action they try, I wouldn't be surprised if a tackle catches a touchdown. reports himself as eligible, goes out there and catches a goal line touchdown. It wouldn't surprise me. But I say that to say, this ain't the Los Angeles Chargers. This ain't Justin Herbert. This is the Kansas City Chiefs. And I predict that they will probably win if I had to give a score. Whew, do I have to give a score? We're getting this close. I guess I will pick a score. I would say Kansas City 38, Jacksonville 17. Staying with Saturday, 8:15, Fox, the Philadelphia Eagles against the New York Giants that just won over the Vikings. Listen, man, if Jalen Hurts were 100%, it'd be a no-brainer for me. We'd move on. I'd just say Eagles, and then we keep pushing forward. But with Jalen Hurts probably going to play and being easy, and being injured, I think this game is a lot closer than we may realize. I think the Eagles have more talent, man for man, all across the board, but the Giants got momentum, man. And there's something to be said for that. The Giants got their momentum, and when you're facing a familiar foe, and you coming in feeling good already, it may be able to carry over for about a half at least. It's going to buy you a half. So I think they're going to give Philly all the trouble that they want for about a half, man. And I'm going to say, because Philly still has the more complete team, I'm going to rock with them. I'm going to say I'm still going to rock with the Eagles. And since I'm picking score now, I'll say, like I said, it's a close game. I'll go Eagles 24, Giants 17. How about that? So going over to Sunday, I don't know what kind of football fan you are, but if these games don't excite you, dog, you ain't much of a damn football fan. For real. Like, these are some great games. Like, I wouldn't have imagined the Kansas City Chiefs and the Jacksonville Jaguars being the divisional round game, but I can't wait to damn see it. So, same with Philly and the Giants, and same with this next game. Like I said, Sunday, 3:00. On CBS, you got the Cincinnati Bengals and the Buffalo Bills. Man, what? I don't know where to go in this game. I know that it's not going to be the wintry, icy Buffalo that we all think of as Buffalo in January. It's not supposed to be that. So if it's not that, if it's not sliding around, falling all over, 6 feet of snow, Buffalo, shit, Cincinnati got a damn good shot. I think it's going to be a great matchup for you to go quarterback watching. This is going to be a great quarterback watch. Buffalo has a hell of a team, man. And I don't know if Buffalo can take advantage of that soft spot in the Cincinnati Bengals line, which is the offensive line. I don't know if they can take advantage of the soft spot in the Cincinnati Bengals line enough to make Joe Burrow uncomfortable to where he turns the ball over. And if they can do that, they could probably force a couple turnovers and win the football game. But if they can't do that, then it's going to be a long night or a long afternoon for the Buffalo Bills. I can't wait to see the performance that Josh Allen puts forth. We've seen Joe Burrow make it to the Super Bowl, right? So we know he has the stuff. We've yet to see Josh Allen go ahead and make that push all the way down to get through the AFC Championship to the Super Bowl and see if he can be that leader. Because he's another one of those guys that everybody is so quick to crown. He's a hell of a quarterback, but in my eyes, he's similar to Cam Newton. And I thought Cam Newton was an amazing quarterback. But that's how I see Josh Allen. I see him in that same mold. Big guy. Nice arm. sometimes questionable decision making. Once he takes off and runs, you better try to get him before he got a head of steam, because if he hit you, you gonna get hurt. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to call this one my upset special. I'm taking Cincinnati. How about that? I'm rolling with Cincinnati for excitement's sake. How about that? I'm going Cincinnati 28, Buffalo Bills 21. Another great game, man. Listen, y'all, on Fox, 6:30, following that, you get another game of the Dallas Cowboys taking on the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco, or Santa Clara, wherever it is they play. Damn, you talk about a game? This will probably be the most watched game of the weekend, I would have to say, just because of the legacies. All of the 49er fans that you know that you grew up with, they're going to be in tune. All of the Dallas Cowboy fans, they're going to be in tune. Those are two prominent franchises when you think of the NFL. Those are two franchises that immediately pop into your mind. There's only about three or four or five that immediately pop in your mind. San Francisco is one, Dallas is the other. So I would make, my prediction would be this is probably the most watched game this weekend. Now, Dallas has had a good season. Fans got a lot to be thankful for, a lot to look forward to, but I think this may be the end of the road, dog. Cowboys to men. Break out the song. The 49ers, man, like I keep going to the talent level. The 49ers, just man for man, have more talent. What are you going to do when you look in the backfield and it's Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey? What are you going to do? Because if I'm a linebacker, my attention is right there. And guess what's going to happen right after that? George Kittle is going to catch the damn ball either in front of me or behind me. Brandon Ayuk is getting ready to catch the ball either in front of me or behind me. And now I got to turn and divert my attention to go make a play to one of those guys. And yeah, I know they got Mr. Irrelevant throwing the football, but he's not playing like Mr. Irrelevant. And maybe, just maybe, he has a Mr. Irrelevant moment. And that's all that Dallas can hope for. That he has a I'm not supposed to be here moment. And he wets the bed and he starts to look like he's not supposed to be on this stage. But if he's been playing football like he's been playing football the past few games, he's comfortable. He's rolling out. He's using his legs. He's using his arm. He's making some good throws. He's not just being checked down, shawty. He's coming out here and he's making some throws. And his confidence is through the roof. Because he's been playing like he belongs in that jersey all year long. Like he belonged there all year long. Like they've been looking for, we had Trey Lance, you had Garoppolo. He's looking like, no, I was here the whole time. Waiting on you to call my number. I just been waiting. You never see like the show when they're going through and the guy just sitting at the end and he got the newspaper and he's just waiting. He finally called his number. He stepped up to the plate and he answered the bell. So once, I think it's going to be a great game. Dallas just needs more on that defensive end than Michael Parsons and Diggs, dog. Like, they got two great playmakers on defense, but those two aren't enough. When, like I said, San Francisco just got guys after guys after guys after guys. Everybody can make a play. So, I think it's going to be a good game. My prediction is San Francisco 31, Dallas 24.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, talking about the whole Lamar Jackson situation, man, I was reading an article. I think it was on ESPN. They were just basically talking about how the Cincinnati Bengals owner, I think it's Mike Brown, was basically on a radio show talking about Joe Burrow before the playoff game. And he basically said, you know, what it's typical owner speech. You know what I'm saying? Like, but he acknowledged a few things there that I thought was key, because a lot of this stuff I had not heard an owner say about Lamar Jackson. But he got out there, and they basically, I think the question referenced, someone asked Joe Burrow, like, what's his window? What's the window that you think, the amount of time that you think you have to squeeze in to get a Super Bowl victory, or get other Super Bowl appearances? Like, what's your window? We always talk about that with athletes. What's your window? And he basically said, my entire career. And the owner of the Bengals basically echoed that. He said he's going to have a long career. We certainly want it to be here. I think his window will extend over his whole career. But there is the fact that when you don't have to pay the quarterback some extraordinary amount, that leaves room to pay other players more, and therefore you can keep more players that are good players. And like I said, that tapped in, because even all this Lamar Jackson negotiations, all the things that we've heard, I haven't heard some of those topics hit, and I haven't seen some of those topics handled by the Baltimore Ravens. Because one, the owner acknowledged, hey, I want to keep Joe Burrow. I want him to be here. And while owners can say that, every owner says that about the current quarterback. To say, I want him to be here, I think the window extends over his entire career. We're acknowledging the fact that as long as we have Joe Burrow, we got a damn shot to go to the Super Bowl. That. Two, he knows it's going to cost a lot of money to keep Joe Burrow in a Bengal uniform. He acknowledges that. He's saying, I know it's going to be a lot, but I don't want to have to pay an extraordinary amount of money. Why? Because I want to keep great players around him. I got to keep a Jamar Chase. I got to keep some of those guys. I keep T. Higgins. I got to keep these guys around. I got to keep defensive players. I got to keep these guys. I can't just have Joe Burrow and think that it's a shot. This is a team game. So while I know it's going to cost me, I don't want to put all my money on Joe Burrow, because I have to spread this. And when I spread this, I've got to be able to pay others a competitive and a wage of which they're going to want to come to Cincinnati. Because people have to keep that into account also. Like, people just think, oh, I'll just go here or there. I'll go whoever's paying me. Nah, you have to weigh in to account where it is. Everybody don't want to play in Jacksonville. Everybody don't want to play in Cincinnati. Everybody don't want to play in Buffalo. If you're a guy from Florida and you went to University of Florida and then you got drafted by the Miami Dolphins, and now you're a free agent and they tell you, hey, you can sign with the Buffalo Bills. I don't want to do that. Why would I sign up for that? Because they paying? Shit, everybody paying. I'll take a couple M's less not to be eye to eye with Frosty the Snowman. So you have to take that stuff into account, man, and that's being self-aware in terms of ownership and front office. But I say that to say, again, I haven't heard any of that. And I set it up to where I was thinking about it all day before I got here. And as I got here, I started to hear it. I started to hear Coach John Harbaugh. They had a meeting earlier today. And he said that they think that they're getting closer to contract negotiation, or maybe they're not getting closer, but they wanted to put on a positive picture as if Harbaugh and DaCosta are positive that things will get done with Lamar Jackson. Because prior to this, I hadn't heard anything other than Harbaugh's frustrations. And I don't know how to, I didn't know how to make that out. I didn't know whether he was frustrated with the front office, because it was hard to gauge. He could have been frustrated. I think sometimes he's frustrated with the front office that don't get the damn deal done. I think sometimes that he's frustrated with Lamar Jackson because he may be thinking that he could play, and he's just thinking that Lamar is just dogging it a little bit, or he's holding out because he's not getting the money. So I don't know how to take Harbaugh's frustrations. But I hadn't heard anything positive until recently. And when you look at it, after Cincinnati beats the Ravens, barely, Huntley tried to go over the top. I told you, slapped the ball out of his hands. They carried the ball all the way down the field and scored a touchdown. Game over. Sometime later, Lamar Jackson hit social media with a message which basically says, which basically reads like this: when you have something good, you don't play with it. You don't take chances in losing it. You don't neglect it. When you have something good, you pour into it. You appreciate it. Because when you take care of something good, that good thing takes care of you. And the crazy part about this thing is, like I've said last week, the system is built around Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is the system. And I say he's the system because you can't name his wide receivers. You might be able to name a running back or two, but you can't really name. Like, he doesn't have weapons. Hollywood Brown is a good speed guy, but he's not a damn weapon. And he ain't even there no more. You know what I'm saying? So they haven't given him weapons. And so, with that being said, the rumors have come out that Lamar Jackson wants a fully guaranteed contract. And I would too, because of the way the system is set up. I don't have anybody to throw to. You're relying on me that if my tight end isn't there, if whatever my first read on my receiver isn't there, if the running back can't get it, you're relying solely upon me to make the decision. And 9 times out of 10, I'm the one who has to make the play. I'm the one who's going to get hit. So with the way that you want me to play, I need a fully guaranteed check. I need a fully guaranteed check. And from what I understand, it was reported that I think Baltimore had issued or offered a 5-year extension, $250 million with $133 million guaranteed, and Lamar turned it down, and rightfully so. Because while we all know about Deshaun Watson's fully guaranteed contract, which is, like I said, which is being reported as to what Lamar Jackson wants, he wants a fully guaranteed contract. And who doesn't? Like, any NFL player, if you got that leverage and you can lean on a franchise and say, hey man, I need all my money. I need all that. If you can get them to give you all that, you get them to give you all that. Excuse me. But yeah, I would have turned it down too. And the reason why I would have turned it down, and like I said, I talked about Deshaun Watson's contract, but also think about it like this. Josh Allen had just signed an extension, a 6-year contract set for $258 million, $150 million guaranteed, as opposed to Lamar's $133. Kyler Murray signed a 5-year deal, extension worth $230 million. We're talking about $189 million guaranteed. And they gotta beg the boy to study the damn playbook. So if I'm Baltimore and you're serious about signing the guy, you want to make him come off of that fully guaranteed money, because I know for a fact that the owner, and sorry, the name slips my mind at this time, but the owner was one of these guys who was looking at Cleveland with the side eye when they signed Deshaun Watson with that fully guaranteed contract. If you don't want to be one of them, you don't want to fold and say, damn, I had to cave because you caved, and now the next team is going to cave, and now it's going to be a spiral. Don't fully guarantee it, but if you offer them $250 million, offer him $200 million guaranteed, and I bet he'll come off that stance a little bit. I bet he'd listen to you a little bit more, and you want to talk about getting closer to a deal. Because I'm sitting here telling you that you are offering him less guaranteed money than Josh Allen and Kyler Murray. And those guys don't have an MVP. Josh Allen is close. We think Josh Allen can be an MVP. But he's not an MVP. He doesn't have that trophy. And then you give him that $200 million, and then you tell him, listen, what we're going to do, we're going to try to get you some weapons. We're going to try to go reach out and trade, or I don't know if he's a free agent, but we're going to try to get you some weapons, a Michael Thomas, a DeAndre Hopkins, somebody of that nature, to where you know you can put the ball up in the air and your receiver's going to come down with it. You got a threat out here, somebody that needs to be double teamed, which is going to open up a lot of things. It's going to open up stuff for your tight ends. It's going to open up lanes for your running backs. It's going to open up lanes for yourself. But you got to give him some weapons. You give him the money, you give him the weapons. I think you have something. But me personally, I don't think they go that route. I think they drag their feet with this. And then what happens is they're going to franchise him. And then that's going to start a whole nother debacle. Because there are all types of scenarios that can play here and there. Whether he signs the franchise tag, what kind of franchise tag they issue. All of those scenarios will come into place. And if it happens, we'll come back here. We'll chop it up about it. We're not going to do it right now. Or the third scenario, like I said, give him the long-term deal, give him some weapons, which is the way I would go, because hell, why wouldn't you? If you are looking at the league, you get look at Pat Mahomes. They got Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes doesn't have all the best weapons outside of Kelce. Kelce's a hell of a damn player, but he doesn't have all the best. Like Juju Smith-Schuster wasn't considered to be the best. Look at the players he got. Pat Mahomes is making it work because they have a system that's allowing him to make it work. You do the same. And with that being said, the offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, has resigned. So you may be looking for a new system or a new system coordinator that understands how Lamar Jackson should be utilized. But I will go through real quick because I saw it and I wanted to touch on it a little bit. I think it was Pro Football Focus. They had a few trade scenarios that if Baltimore may have been looking for a trade partner to say, okay, we'll get rid of Lamar Jackson and we'll try to reconstruct this whole system. One of those was to the Falcons. you know I would find that, right? But they had him traded to the Falcons, to where basically Atlanta gets Lamar and the Ravens get this year's first round pick, first round pick for the 24 draft, first round pick for the 25 draft, along with a second this year and a third this year, which is the 44th and the 75th pick. And I would kind of be down for that. Because you could sign Lamar. We got a lot of money under the cap. We got a lot of money freed up under the cap. What you would have to do then is you would have to work the hell out of free agency. And then you'd have to scout the hell out of these fourth and fifth rounds players to try to get someone who may not become a starter, but may provide you some depth in certain areas. And if the Falcons have had Lamar Jackson this season, a fully healthy Lamar Jackson this season, I think we're a playoff team instead of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What does that get you? Not much, unless it might have been a first round bye. Maybe we could have pushed, you know, Dallas a little bit further. We don't get our ass handed to us like Tampa Bay did. But I think there are the Atlanta Falcons, with the way that they play, with what Arthur Smith has shown us, I think they're first round, maybe second round playoff team. And then they go through the same thing. They have similar trades for the Lions and similar trades for the Houston Texans, to where they get their picks. And what ultimately is taking place is, with the Lions and the Texans, you're taking their picks and you're getting like a CJ Stroud or a Bryce from Alabama. And you're using that young, you're using that rookie contract and keeping the quarterback on a rookie contract. And then you're using the rest of that money to seal up the rest of your squad, to shore up the rest of your team. So I don't know if that's what they're thinking. I don't know what they're thinking. You have three options. You can trade, which, like I said, you have suitors. While Baltimore may not be a team that's willing to go fully guaranteed, I'm sure there are other teams that's willing to go fully guaranteed. Maybe the Falcons included. I don't know. But there's other teams. The Houston Texans may be ready to go fully guaranteed. I don't know. So you can trade. You can franchise, which is the way I think they're going to go. I think they're going to franchise tag him. And depending on which type of franchise, you know, will determine how the cap hit. And if they, and a trade still may be in play there. Or you could just sign the man long term. Get a man some money.
Commissioner Gordon.
Quick, real quick hit. As we sit here, man, I just came across my laptop as I'm sitting here talking to you. It says Deion Sanders was able to flip the top cornerback recruit. I hope I'm saying his name like Cormani McClain. He's verbally committed to Colorado. He had been previously committed to the University of Miami. He's a top four recruit, top cornerback. And basically, he's the third ESPN top 300 prospect of this class, the 2023 class that Deion Sanders has acquired. And that is more than Colorado has had in the past two seasons or two classes combined. So they ain't had three ESPN top 300 players in the past two seasons in recruiting. And I mentioned and I referenced this before when we were talking about Deion Sanders and his move to Colorado, and I was wondering what success looks like for Deion Sanders at Colorado. And while this is these headlines are great because you win the PR, you still haven't won any games. I know you said, well, the season ain't started yet. Yeah, I know. But you still haven't won any games. You're winning the press, but you're not winning the games. I don't think Deion is going to have a problem getting skill players. Deion's not going to have a problem getting the wide receivers. Deion's not going to have a problem getting the cornerbacks. He's not going to have the problem getting the running backs. He may even be able to produce a top QB after his son leaves. Deion's problem is going to be the same problem he had at Jackson State, the same problem that schools like Colorado, whether you're in the the Pac-12, you're in the Mountain West, and some schools in the Big 12. Deion's problem is going to be on the line. It's going to be in the trenches. Are you going to have an offensive line, a defensive line that can compete with the likes of a Georgia, an Alabama, an LSU, an Ohio State, a Michigan? because that's what it's going to take. Because otherwise, Deion's teams are going to look much like Deion's teams looked at the Celebration Bowl. The MEAC played a smash mouth type of football game, and that's what happened. Jackson State and all they flash and glory got out there and got pushed around the football field by the MEAC schools. 2 years in a row. So again, I applaud Deion for doing this. I applaud Deion. I wish him well out at Colorado. I thought it was a crap job, and I still think it's a crap job. I just don't, and I wish him all the success of turning shit into sugar, pretty much. You know, I wish him well. But I think we have to continue to keep our eye open and our minds open as to what success is for a franchise who's only won, well, I think, maybe 3 games in 2 years. So is that the first? What is the goal for year one for Colorado? Do you think Deion's coming right out the box winning the bowl game or making it to a bowl game? So that's 6 wins. Is that success in the first season? I don't know. But it has to be lumped into that equation. The questions have to be asked. What will it take to be successful? And we'll talk about that as, you know, the weeks come up, as recruiting comes down the line, as signing day comes up. I think it's in February. We'll talk about that, man. And we'll also, next week on the Commissioner's Conversation, we will talk about the NBA All-Star Game. I'll tell you my early MVPs, Rookie of the Years, all that stuff. We'll talk about that. We'll also take a look at some of the college basketball landscape. I'll tell you who you should keep your eye on as we roll into March Madness, because, you know, February is only about 2 weeks. So you blink and it's over. So I'll tell you who you should keep your eye on. Also, we will come back and talk about these NFC AFC championship matchups. But again, I tell you, tune in here on the Commissioner's Conversation. You can check me out on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon, on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon, on Facebook at Commissioner Gordon Robinson, on Instagram at G Robinson Sports, on Twitter, at G Robinson Sports. I'll say it again, on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon, on Instagram, on Facebook, Commissioner Gordon Robinson, on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. Again, I appreciate you for tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation. As usual, I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. Thank you. Until next week, I'll holler.
Commissioner Gordon.